Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See store or jcp.com for details.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit orionfcu.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey. Hey, who that? Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to f*** with one of Satan home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about my name, I gotta say.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday. It is hump day. And John Martin, I know you don't want to hear about it, but I'm going to be talking about it because it looks like the Cardinals are in it for the long haul in this race. We got a race in the NL Central. It includes your St. Louis Cardinals. Congratulations, Brad Carson. Y'all keep winning. Cubs are at home, so they're winning. I'm excited about that, but I realize we're not here to talk baseball, John Martin. We are here typically to talk a little basketball, a little football. We'll do some of that today because, John Martin, I see we've got some rankings out.
Yes! We do.
Now, that's the kind of energy I like for you to come in with.
We have rankings.
Hard Knocks must have been good last
we
night.
We have rankings.
All right.
Yeah, we're very excited about these rankings.
I can tell.
Any day you wake up above ground with college basketball recruiting rankings is an amazing day in the United States of America.
Well, especially when you got so many locals in them.
Certainly in one of the classes. Not so much in the more immediate class.
All right, Mr. Corrector.
Well, I'm just saying.
I see how you starting off this show.
2020
in typical fashion.
2020 is light, locally.
Well, it's got one that I love in Matthew Morrell.
But he's not local anymore. He's headed out. So technically, no locals.
Stop.
Technically, no locals.
Oh, I still very much consider Matthew Morrell local, although he will play at IMG.
But we do have rankings. We actually have rankings for both classes today, but from different sites. One that you trust and one that you do not. So the 2020 class rankings have been updated by 247. The 2021 class rankings have been updated by ESPN, who you do not like to discuss.
No, but we will discuss them because there's like 5-6 locals in that thing.
Now, that is the interesting class.
It's fantastic class.
Because, that's really where Penny Hardaway can load up, right? That's where he can load up on the local talent. This class, he's gonna have to do it nationally. I think that's the... That is the lesson, you know.
Well, that's who they're after.
Yeah, it is. You know, whereas last season in this 2019 recruiting class, it was a really great mix. You know, you had local guys and you had national guys. You know, you had your James Wise and your DJ Jeffries and your Malcolm Dandridges to go along with Precious and Lester, et cetera. This class is going to basically be national recruits. And the good thing for Memphis is that they've put themselves in a position to get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas 5-6 years ago, you know, that was not possible.
Right.
Just was not possible.
Right.
So
let's talk about what we've got, and we'll get back into that.
We do have a show today. We have a radio program planned for you today at 11:25. We are going to talk to Mark Giannotto. Mark Giannotto, you can hear on this radio station from 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time with Jeffrey Wright. He's going to join us at 11:25. He's also, of course, the Commercial Appeal sports columnist. We'll talk to him about these rankings, about Memphis basketball, and more.
Yeah, a little Memphis football as well, because that's coming on around the mountain, John.
Yep. Did you hear? Did you hear Jeff Calkins
sounding all scared?
Why is he so scared?
Man, I get closer to the game. Somebody be like Bennett when the Titan season starts up, get a little scared. You know.
I mean,
you just got to roll, get the game going.
Is this not sports though? Yeah. Like, is it?
I get
do we
his
not
po-
want competition?
I completely get his point that you'd like if you'd have it in an ideal world, a little warm up right before you play a game as significant as this one could be for Memphis against Ole Miss. I get that. But here's the flip side of that coin. You're taking on an Ole Miss team that you're favored against. It's also their first game out. And so if you're looking for, you know, rust to come out or whatever, or a fall flat in a first performance, hell, it could be Ole Miss too. So you might be catching them at a good time. Don't be scared. John, I like what you said. You sounded like a poet.
Thank you.
You really put Jeff in his place this morning,
didn't you? Well, yeah, because the reality of it was he was saying, you know, well – you know, what if Memphis loses?
They don't. What did you say? You know, Memphis football doesn't need you to hold its hand, Jeff.
Yeah,
they're big boys now. They put on their big boy pants.
They've played in big time games. They've won big time games.
You were fired up on Jeff this morning.
It's just like, at what point do we start treating Memphis football like the real football program that it is?
Agree with you completely. It's a program that's favored. No, I'm not scared at all, John, and I'm happy to play Ole Miss in this opener. Gonna clock them.
Even if you lose, right? Even if it is an SEC school, so that possibility exists. But even if you lose, like, look at the schedule. You know, look at the Memphis football schedule. You play, I mean, you know, I won't say jokes of opponents, but you play light opponents. You know, the next 6 to 7 weeks.
It's important to win the first one.
But if you lose, though, you'll still end up being 6-1, 7-1.
Oh, you're absolutely. You got nothing but, I mean, you know, 9-10 wins very attainable, and I would think anything less than that a disappointment this season. That's the way I'm looking at it with this schedule.
But, I mean, again, you know, this is all you could ever ask for as a Memphis football fan.
Don't get so caught up. You had the right, you were on the right side of justice there with Jeff.
Yeah, you're going into this game as a 6-point favorite.
I think you won him over anyway. He's ready to play now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little much from him.
It threw me off too.
You know, it was a little much. You know, it's one thing to have that attitude towards the Bills, you know, who are not a real football team.
This ain't the Bills, baby.
You know, this is a real football program that has proven itself.
That's right.
So anyway, we're going to talk to Mark Giannotto about all of that at 11:25. At 12:25, we're going to be joined by Barrett Jones, who is just moving up the ranks, man. Who is just moving up the ranks over there at ESPN. He is going to be on every game this season, every main game.
Yeah, it's a promotion. He gets all ESPN's big games on the radio now. So now he's got his own team. Now he's the featured guy. We told you he's going to rise fast, and my gosh, he's done it.
That's exactly
all Barrett does is win at life.
Yeah, he did a lot of that at Alabama.
Yeah.
You know?
You come out of Alabama, you are winning.
Yep.
And that's all he's done.
Yep. So we will talk to Barrett about Alabama. We will talk to him about his game this weekend, which is Miami, Florida.
If he wants a couple years, it'll be TV too.
I agree.
He'll take over television. He's that good.
Yep. I think that's absolutely right. Yep. We'll talk to him about that. We will talk to him about college football in general, Tua, Oregon, lots to get to with Barrett Jones. We'll do that at 12:25. And then at 1:25, we will talk to Anthony Sain, who joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. We'll have him in studio. We will talk to him about the rookie survey. We will talk to him about the NBA and more. I know there were some issues you wanted to tackle with him.
I do. He's going to help me out. Want to know what it's like out here in 2019 for an old player. Wants to know what it's like for a player now out here on this dating scene 2019. Uh-huh. Hopefully he can tell me how it is.
Well, can you imagine what it's like?
Because it used to be like piranha out there, right?
Well, I think it still is.
And I've been out the game so long. I want to know, is it slim pickings out there this day and age when you're in Anthony Sain's shoes? Are they out? Is it plentiful out there? That's what I
would
imagine. An old player wants to know. I've been out the game a long time.
I'd imagine the older you are, yes, the slimmer the pickings.
This may not necessarily be true, John. Some of us, men especially, we tend to get more handsome as we get older.
Well, no, we're talking about people who, you know, if you're 40, right? If you're 40 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've lived a life. You know?
Right, right.
So you've.
But you're acting like it's over.
I'm not saying it's over, but I'm just saying you definitely got some baggage. you got something.
You act like a 40-year-old brother can't get a woman out here.
He can.
In this day and age, a young woman.
I'm saying.
Look at Jamie Foxx out here dating teens.
We ain't talking about Jamie Foxx.
What are we talking?
We're talking about a Memphis man.
Every brother doesn't need to have money or be Jamie Foxx because it's called game, John.
And I'm
something
saying,
you don't understand.
And I'm saying that if you are not Jamie Foxx and you're dating in your 40s, bro, you're gonna have to accept the fact that your woman is gonna have baggage.
Man, you just cut off 40-year-old players, 50-year-old players still out here swinging, 60-year-old players still out here single, still in the dating game. You just cutting them off. You just putting them out to pasture.
No, I'm not
gonna do that. That's generations of men.
I'm just saying that that
I'm sure are out here still getting it done.
You're gonna have to be a stepdad. You have to be a stepdad.
What?
Yes, you're gonna have to be a stepdad. 95% chance you're gonna have to be a stepdad.
You're saying you only get a woman with kids.
That's more than likely what you're going to find.
It's just not true, and we will ask Saint at 125.
I'm looking forward to it because I promise you he is going to prove me right. I promise you he's going to prove me right.
I'm living still some good Christian women out here. No kids.
Okay. Yeah, we'll ask
and
him.
Well, ones we get. Look, my wife had a son already, too, and I married her. I'm just telling you, there's some of both, I would imagine. It's not all one thing, John. You like to speak in absolutes, and I'm telling you, I like to stick a little bit more in that gray area because that's what life is, bunch of gray.
Well, you know what? We will find out at 125.
Oh, we will.
What the scene's like.
I don't like the way you marked us all off out for death. You marked us for
I
death
didn't say
like
you're
a Steven
dying.
Seagal movie.
I just said you're going to have to understand and accept that your partner.
What we can get.
You got to lower your standards a little bit.
I want to focus to start this show off on sports, John.
Okay, well, speaking of standards, they are very high for Memphis basketball in the class of 2020. You know, we've talked about this class before and the possibility of Memphis going back-to-back with the top-ranked recruiting class.
Can that still happen, especially if you don't get a Jalen Green? It was a question I did not ask you yesterday.
It cannot happen without Jalen Green.
Okay.
It cannot happen without Jalen Green.
To that point, there's a chance no one gets Jalen Green. So everything comes down a peg if he goes pro or to Australia if he goes that route.
I think somebody will get Jalen Green.
You think he's going to play college basketball?
I do think somebody will.
Well, that means he won't go to Australia, so you're marking them off.
I think he will play college basketball.
We're moving right along here then.
Now, whether it's Memphis or not, you know, do I think Memphis is the leader today? Absolutely. I do think Memphis is the leader today. Could that change? Absolutely. You know,
will it change? What factors could change it?
Well, I mean, I think, number one, you know, what you always have to keep in mind is who's recruiting the kid.
Right.
You know, who's the lead recruiter on the kid. And that's with any program, you know. And is it always a team effort? Yes. But by and large, relationships are made in recruitment with, you know, one coach. Always the head coach. It depends program to program, right? Like Josh Pastner, for example, would recruit you from day one to the end. You know, like, it didn't matter, you know. And I think that was an extreme example. Most head coaches do not do that. Most head coaches allow their assistants to do the bulk of the work, and then they come in at the end and they close it. That's typically what happens. So, you know, I think what the staff looks like is certainly going to be a factor in that, you know, if it changes, you know, and how much it changes. I think that's definitely a factor. And I also think it's a factor how Memphis does this year on the court. Now, I think that's less important, you know. I don't think kids are looking at the like I don't think they're watching that closely. Like do they lose 6 games or do they lose 9 games? You know, and does that make a damn bit of difference to Jalen Green? I don't really think so, Jason. I don't really think kids are watching that closely. I think what they're really concerned with is are the stocks of James Wiseman and Precious where they're supposed to be.
And that what it will ultimately boil down to are those guys going high in the draft?
Yes.
That's what we've said and sort of identified is that I think the thing that can really keep this thing going, perhaps barring staff changes or not, that can sort of keep this thing going, you sustain this ability to recruit both nationally, get all the top guys locally, if you keep putting those guys in those good-looking draft spots, right?
Yes.
They don't fall.
Those are the things that
matter.
That's
the challenge.
Jalen Green moved up a spot in these rankings to number 3 overall. Memphis has the 67% crystal ball, 17% cloudy. Again, a long way to go in this recruitment. He has said he's going to announce his decision on December 25th. I'll be interested if that actually happens. I'll be interested in that actually, whether or not that actually takes place. Or if it does, like the kid is not signing. You know, so that's another thing to keep in mind is that because he's announcing on Christmas, which is what he's saying, he can't sign a letter of intent until May.
Here's the thing. I mean, we're talking yesterday about the real possibility that no one in college gets him. And then we come in here today, and it hadn't changed. You had said that Memphis was the leader. But you come in here today, we're talking about, obviously, hey, maybe this opens up a spot for Matthew Morrell. But if you are still the leader for Jalen Green, mm-hmm. you can't back off.
Right.
You have to continue those resources.
Yeah.
No matter what what happens with your staff or whatever, you're in too good a position, John, to turn back is the point.
Yep.
And so you've got to keep pushing all the way till that decision's made.
Yep, and let's keep working down the list here. Greg Brown, he remained number 9 overall. Austin, Texas. And the news is that he is visiting Memphis officially for the Georgia game.
Excellent.
Yeah, that was from Andrew Slater. He said that Greg Brown will be in on a visit to Memphis January 4th. That is his last scheduled visit as of right now. He will get to Kentucky, I'm assuming. He will get to North Carolina. Memphis is in a great spot with him.
Ooh.
Memphis is in a great spot with him. I mean, just think about the situation.
The season could be really rolling by then,
yes.
For that Georgia game. And then you get a Georgia team in here that's young, but it's got one of the best recruiting classes in the country and obviously one of the best NBA prospects in the country, and Anthony Edwards. And so that's a game where you got real coming in here. Greg Brown, one of the top 10 prospects in the country, basically, watching a couple of guys that were just in that position, obviously, with James Wiseman. Really, it's a few guys.
You got
to throw Precious in there as well. And then Anthony Edwards. Imagine what the atmosphere could be like for that game, especially if you're talking a Memphis team that's knocked off Oregon, that kind of, had that kind of a season already, NC State up at the Barclays. And so you get a feeling that could be lit. It'd be a good time to have him on campus.
Absolutely. We'll go down the list here. The next relevant recruit that Memphis is after, Jaden Springer, dropped 3 spots to number 16 overall. But
he's still top 15.
Man. Yeah, I mean, he's a great player.
He's down there with Morrell at IMG. Same backcourt.
Memphis is firmly involved there. And you have to think they have an amazing shot, depending on what happens with Jalen Green and the rest of the roster. So he is definitely on the list. Matthew Morrell jumped up. He had a great ranking.
Good. He deserves it.
He jumped up.
How high?
20 spots to number 42 overall.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So he is a four-star prospect, still four-star, just missed the five-star cutoff, but he is a four-star prospect, jumped up 20 spots from 62.
Monster, clearly a monster, had a monster summer, led Team Thad, obviously, to the Under Armour 17 Shoe Circuit title. And just blew up. I mean, I like the rise, 20 spots. I hoped that Morrell was going to get into that sort of, McDonald's All-American, top 35, top 32, top 24 consideration. He's still got a little room. Like you said, he just missed the five-star cutoff. But I'm telling you right now, that's a five-star player.
Yeah. I meant to mention, too, Cliff Omorui.
Yes.
Remember that name. Cliff Omorui.
A big, I hope.
6'11", 230 out of Roselle Catholic in New Jersey. Memphis is involved there. And they're trying to make that happen. So keep him on your radar. Cliff Omorui, he is number 40 in the country. And then there might be a couple more here or there that I'm missing. But those are the big-time prospects that you need to keep an eye on right now for the class 2020.
Brown, the only scheduled visit right now?
So far, yeah. I mean, I'm expecting Jalen Green to get back. He's already come once.
Yep. And as far as we know, it's the only official visit he's taken is to Memphis.
Far as I know. So Chris Moore, I should mention Chris Moore. He dropped 6 spots
Memphis.
To number 93.
He's four-star though, right?
He's a
top 100
prospect.
Is all four.
At this point, I think he came out. He visited this month, earlier this month, I want to say, or he's got one at the. Not, I think his official might be at the end of the month.
Does that brother have an offer from North Carolina and Kentucky? I heard. Is that what was reported?
He said that on. He was doing an interview on this station with Drew Hill.
I know Memphis likes him, and
he said that. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
Is that
interest? Yeah, I mean,
he said it was an offer. I mean, I can't call the kid, I can't say I don't take him at his word,
I was just asking you what you thought.
But, yeah, I would expect Chris Moore to end up at Memphis. Also, by the way, while I'm on the subject of potential additions, we talked to Tony Madlock yesterday.
Yes, we did.
About a number of things.
I know. You tried to get him to count it out.
If you missed it, you should go check it out some other time, not right now. But you should check out the interview because it was great. I asked Tony Madlock at the end of the interview if he thinks there could be another addition. And he kind of laughed and he kind of said, you guys will probably be the first to know if there is. But they're always working. Well, what I can tell you is on Isaiah Stokes, we've kind of gone back and forth about him. We reported first that he visited Memphis, that it was going really well, and that it looked like that's where he'd end up, right?
Yeah.
And then I heard last week or the week before, I can't remember, that there was a chance that he skipped. He just he, he he would skip college basketball altogether. Go look professional, just give up the game, like,
yeah,
whatever.
That, I told you when you said it didn't make any sense.
Well, right? what I'm now getting is that it's very likely he ends up at Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely ends up at Memphis. So they, I don't know what
they need bigs for the next couple of years. There's no question about it. Now, I'm not talking like Isaiah's going to come in here and start. But I've always said that would provide some depth over the next couple of years.
Particularly
if he's got to sit out a year.
Well, continue to hear there's a chance he's eligible. I don't know what the grounds would be. Again,
well, I mean, come on. Like you know, it feels like Lance in the sense that
right.
It just feels like an uphill climb.
Right.
Lance
well,
was
well,
there.
We know Penny will try, though.
But yeah, absolutely, we know they'll go to the wall for it.
And here's the deal. Like, do you feel that confident?
See, by that, you got Malcolm Dandridge. And
exactly.
And
that's what I'm saying.
That's it.
Do you feel that confident
like right
about
now,
your depth?
I mean, you're in on Greg Brown, obviously, but yeah. Right now you got Malcolm Dandridge
exactly.
In terms of what would be back.
And let's just talk about this season, you know? Like, yeah, you have James and Precious, who are awesome, but you got to have guys coming off the bench behind them.
You got another year out of Lance. What am I talking about? Yeah, one more year out of Lance.
But for this year, you know, here. Lance, you're coming. You got Lance on the bench, and then after that, you're really talking about playing DJ at the four, you know, in terms of depth.
Because about this year?
Yeah, because I don't see Isaiah Maurice getting
I don't know why you
time.
Hate, dude.
I'm just telling you.
I feel like Isaiah's earned Penny's respect in the sense that he's going to be a reserve on this team and get some run. There might be a point of the season where he's not getting any because maybe they need Precious and James out there on the floor most of the game. But I just feel like Isaiah's going to get some run. Because, again, you saw down in the Bahamas, he can pop outside, hit a couple threes, especially if guys get in foul trouble. And particularly with freshmen, they have a tendency to get in foul trouble. So you might perhaps need that depth. It may be spotty, John. You might be right. Maybe it's only here and there when those guys are in foul trouble. But I think you'll see some Isaiah Maurice. I'm not saying a huge part of the rotation, but an impactful piece when he needs to be.
Yeah,
Penny needs him to be.
But, you know, I think at this point, Isaiah Stokes, I'd be shocked if it's not Memphis for him. And we've talked about sort of what he brings and what he would bring. And it's just that, you know, the space eater, the big with the touch,
yeah.
You know, and the physicality that he would in theory bring.
When, again, you can't make the point enough because I think this is what Penny sees. When Isaiah was on the rise to a top 60 prospect, you know, and headed down to IMG, you know, Penny saw him at his best. I watched him in the Peach Jam. He was big, quick, breaking backboards, getting off the floor and breaking backboards down. That's how big a guy we're talking. Think, you know, like Pierre Henderson Niles, just, you know, when he's in good shape. And again, that summer, he was in the best shape of his life, had decided, no, I'm not going to play football. I'm going all in on basketball, playing for Penny Hardaway. So Penny's seen him at his best. And I just think, Penny sees the value in having a big guy like that's going to push a team like Cincinnati. You bring a guy like that off the bench, and all of a sudden you got an enforcer coming
yes,
off
you
the
do.
Bench.
Yes, you
know, something
do.
You don't necessarily have.
And I think that's exactly
that's
how Memphis is viewing it. There's mm-hmm. no question about it. All right, lots more to come here on the show. Mark Giannotto is going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, about Memphis basketball, and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, what's going on? It's Jason and John from 92.9 FM ESPN. Join us as we host the 2019 92.9 Madden Tournament at the Rec Room at 6:30 on Friday, August 23rd. We're going to have lots of beer specials and food, and you're going to get a chance to watch Jason run the Smash Mouth offense.
That's right. I'm coming out of retirement, the number 24 seed in the tournament, and do not underestimate me. I plan to advance to the finals, as a matter of fact.
Come party with us on Friday at the Rec Room. The Madden Tournament is Friday at 6:30.
Come on out
with us at 92.9 FM ESPN.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
It's that blissful time of year yet again. A time for uncontainable elation everywhere you look. And I'm not just talking about summertime. I mean time for the Honda Summer Spectacular event, where well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR on select 2019 Honda Accord models. Named America's best midsize sedan by Car and Driver. Hurry into your local Honda dealer.
Experience the joy of a new Honda for yourself at your local Memphis area Honda dealer.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes hybrid models. Car and Driver, January 2019.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and you probably know my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health nearly 2 years ago. We were in a dicey situation, but everything went smoothly, and I can't recommend them enough. As I've told you before, though, you do not have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. And right now, I'm here with Susan Edwards from the Imaging Center on their East Campus, and what I've learned is that Regional One Health has a really simple option for women to get their mammograms.
That's right. Having an imaging center on this campus is very convenient, and any woman can schedule a screening mammogram without a referral and can even walk in without an appointment.
So let me get this straight. Women do not need a referral or an appointment to get a mammogram screening.
That's exactly right. The American College of Radiology recommends annual screening mammography for women starting at age 40. Anyone can make an appointment for a mammogram screening, and walk-ins are welcome. All you have to do is give the Imaging Center a call at 901-515-3600. We're located at 6555 Quince Road, right at the Kirby exit off 385.
You heard her. Head to the East Campus anytime without an appointment for a mammogram, or just give them a call, 901-515-3600.
Hurt? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's a dreamy, wished it on a genie. I got fans finally, and she wanted them to see me. I thought you want this for my life, for my life.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Kennedy Chandler, we did not talk about the 2021 rankings over at ESPN because Jason doesn't believe they do that. They do a very good job over there.
I'm excited they put the new ones out, though.
Kennedy Chandler moved up to number 18 in the country, which I believe that's got to be five-star status at this point.
Absolutely it is.
And that it's only a matter of time before 247 catches up and makes Kennedy Chandler a five-star prospect. Yes, indeed, he is officially a five-star prospect over at ESPN. Every single Wednesday at this time, we are joined by Mark Giannotto. He's the sports columnist over at the Commercial Appeal. You can hear him every afternoon from 2 to 4. He believes Memphis is getting into the Big 12. He joins us now. Mark, what's up,
Wait,
man?
They're not already in?
No, not yet.
My column didn't put him over the top last week?
No, but I'm told that the gears are turning.
Okay.
Because of your column.
Perfect. I'll be waiting with bated breath.
You know, we have a number of things that we need to get to today, but we were talking about this 2020 class, and obviously it's going to be very hard to repeat number one back-to-back. Like, that's going to be very, very difficult. But it's unique for Memphis in that whereas there was a balance in 2019, local, national, there really isn't that blend. It's not available to you. I mean, you have Matthew Morrell, you know, and that's about it. The rest you're going to have to get nationally. So
and Chris Moore, if they decide that Moore is. I think Moore is one of those guys where they're in a great position with him, and if they decide what's interesting about just recruiting in general is, like, people think, like, the kid gets an offer and that's it. But, like, Chris Moore is an offer, but I think it's more like Memphis would have to give him the go-ahead to accept the offer. And I think my guess would be ultimately they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about Isaiah Stokes and how you need – you're talking about balance, too. You need balance in the recruiting class in the sense that, like, I think they've identified Chris Moore as a guy who could be, like, a captain of the team and would be here 4 years and is just one of those dogs, if you will. Like, when you watch him play, he's, like, 6'6", 6'7", and he's just got a nose for the ball.
Right, yep.
And, like – if he's a guy who's content with the fact that maybe in year one and maybe in year two, he's not that big of a factor, mm-hmm. but then he's that, or maybe he could be, or perhaps he's Damian Ball and he's better than his ranking is. But ultimately, I think they identify that they're going to need some guys
those
like that
guys.
To balance out these recruiting mm-hmm. classes. But yes, you're right that locally, I mean, 2020 is a, I mean, it's probably the, I don't know, like the worst class locally since I've been here, probably.
Right. Right. When'd you get here?
Like the first true class, I guess, that I was here was the, it was the year before Alo and Tyler, like,
2017. That wasn't
yeah,
very
that
good.
Wasn't very good either. Yeah, like,
I don't remember
the kid
anybody.
Who went to SMU. What was his name?
Oh, William Douglas.
William Douglas. Yeah.
He was a perfect Tubby kid. I don't know. Again, Tubby missed the boat on William.
Yeah, but, and, you know, it goes every other year because you're 2021. I mean, there's, I'm going to go look it up later today. Like, there's five guys in the yep. top 60 in that ESPN ranking. I bet you there ain't many classes with Memphis
right.
kids.
And there's
where
another
there's
one that,
five of them in you know
about
the
that
top
kid that,
50.
That's down in Florida 60. From Memphis. Number yep. 26, Dallin Coleman, is from Memphis.
Yeah, really.
I think they call him Debo or something like
and,
that.
And I like how you've already adopted Musa.
Yeah, he's,
you know?
He's at Los Angeles. I mean,
the day that because, you know, it was Jason had the story that James Wiseman was moving to Memphis, like, on radio, you know, that day, and I claimed him immediately. Like, I was like, he's a Memphian, and this was back when Tubby was the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, there was no chance of Memphis getting him.
Well, Moose is the same way. He's going to play 2 years here, presumably. Unless, I mean, maybe, you know, now his is a little different in that, like, I would not be shocked if maybe next year he goes. So he strikes me as the type of kid who's just going all over
could
the place.
Could go to prep school for that last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, could go to IMG or Oak Hill or whatever, you know, one of those types of schools. But
why not there now?
I don't know. I mean, it's, no, obviously there's question. Someone around. I mean, I'll be honest. There's like a lot of people in the, I would say, the private school community
yeah.
who are asking questions
yeah,
about
all them D2A schools.
How did he,
why I got to play this dude?
How did he end up at Lausanne?
Mm-hmm.
I would just
it's a
say
fair question.
It is, but like at the same time, it's a like
curriculum.
It's a private school, and
some of this I-20 stuff. I don't have the form in front of me again.
Yeah.
There's only some schools that offer these international students. So they're
but
one
it,
of them.
But it's not like he has to live in the district of the school. It's a private school. They can get whoever they want.
We were talking about them being D2A and how with all these, you know, this NBA, you know, yes, Skal didn't play, but Skal, Cam, how they should move up to play the Christian Brothers and whatever. But John, I read there's only 850 kids over there. There's only 800. I mean, it's a small school and look at all the talent that's come through there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and I mean I'm used to like in I mean in DC this stuff happens all the time. I mean like kids are brought in.
We don't typically
Africa
see the New York
and,
kid come down
yes.
here.
Yes, no, that
but
is
you know the yeah
no yeah no
Nashville we've
that,
seen up.
That is oh. yeah that is a little different. But I'm excited to watch him play. I mean he's a top 10 recruit. He was number 9 in that
no doubt
ESPN ranking. I mean
yeah.
it sounds like he's someone described him to me as like you know. Dikembe Mutombo, but with
oh
a more
God.
Refined offensive game.
Okay, all right, okay.
That.
Let's yeah. calm down a yeah. little bit. Good God.
Doesn't
Dikembe
have the finger
Mutombo,
wag yet.
We have Dikembe Mutombo, but better offensively in Memphis now?
That wasn't like that. They were trying. I was asking him, what does this guy look like?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they, I mean, at the high school level.
John gets triggered on comparisons. Remember the John Henson one to James Wiseman
yes.
just drove John up
well,
the wall.
I think he thinks this is too over the top.
Yeah,
this one's
yeah,
for the other.
I haven't seen him play, but that just feels
that's
a little extreme.
Too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I realize comparison's tricky.
I haven't seen him play either, so I'm just going off what someone.
Maybe he is Dikembe Mutombo with a jump hook. I don't
well,
know.
Is he 6'9", 6'11"? Because that's going to say a lot
yeah.
to whether he's Dikembe Mutombo or not. I'm too.
Yeah.
I don't. Again, is he a 6'9", power four? Or is he a 6'11", center like ESPN's got him? I have no idea.
But, yeah. but to your original point, the 2020 class, we had on our show, we had Corey Evans on a couple weeks ago, and he was bullish. Like I was shocked at how optimistic he was about Memphis's, like, to your point, in the first segment, John, I mean, he said they're the leader for Jalen Green. He said, other than Texas, there's no one in a better position than Memphis for Greg Brown.
Right.
Yep.
He thinks that's what it ultimately comes down to. Texas, even though UNC is considered in that mix,
right.
too, he thinks it comes down to Texas.
Agreed.
Or Memphis.
And Texas is desperate. That's the thing I worry about.
Well, yeah, the question is, you know, with if Shaka misses the tournament this year, he might
right.
not be
it
the
won't
coach.
Matter if they're desperate.
Right.
Exactly.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
He might not be the coach. But So that, you know, but right there, if you get Jalen Green and Greg Brown, you're looking at a very good shot at having another number one class because two top, I mean, as of right now, you know, like getting number one and number 11 this year, that's what kind of what Precious was, getting number three and number nine, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And then if you add in one other guy out of the Jaden Springer or one of these bigs they're going after, whether it's Cliff.
Omarui. That's how I said it.
Maddie Sissoko is another guy they're in on.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it's shaping up to be a really good class. But the one thing I would say is, remember this time a year ago what we thought the 2019 class was going to look like. Yep. And obviously we thought Wiseman was going to be there.
Dandridge.
But, like, people were talking about, you know, Trenton Watford and
Jameis Ramsey
and even Matthew Hurt a little bit. And, like, then by the end it was Precious and Lester Quinault, like guys who didn't really appear until around now on their radar screen. So I would just say, given this staff's short history, it's a very fluid situation.
Yeah.
Because they can get involved with kids very quickly.
Late. Yep.
Well, they can. So do you think if you had to say today, Memphis finishes with a top five class?
Yeah. It's certainly top 10. I don't think Penny and Mike are capable of not getting a top 10 class. I don't know about top five because a lot of that I think depends on who, like you got to expect Kentucky and Duke are going to be there. But it looks like UNC is going to have a big class this year as well. So their team, you know, I could see them having a better class than Memphis. And then there's probably another wild card other than Memphis in there. But I would say certainly top 10. I wouldn't count out top five. If they get Jalen, I mean, the question to me is to get a top five class, you have to have a top 10 recruit. And the two top 10 recruits that they are really, really in on are Jalen Green and Greg Brown.
Right.
So if you get one of those, I think it's a good chance you get a top five class.
Yep.
But if you don't get either of those, then I think you're more looking at a top 10 class.
Do you think as highly of Matthew Morrell as I do? I see him as special. I don't get the feeling that everyone else sees him sort of, but they'll be okay. And look, part of this is if you can recruit Jalen Green, of course, or guards at that level, Springer as well, you can win without a Matthew Morrell. But I see him as special. I see a kid who wants the ball at the end, right temperament. He's a dog when he needs to be. I think he's special and could maybe end up being, you know, if he doesn't just blow up, one of those 3-4 year guys like you're talking about. I think he's a guy you don't want to miss on. Where are you on Matthew? You watched him play, right?
Yeah, I've watched him play quite a bit.
That's what I thought.
I think he's a really good two-way. I don't think he gets enough credit for his two-way ability.
Uh-huh.
Like, he can play both ends of the floor.
Agreed.
And then his athleticism is special.
It's through the roof.
I think the way he becomes a five-star recruit, or like the McDonald's All-American, and maybe it's too late because what people don't realize about that McDonald's All-American team is decided in like a month from now. And
he jumped
a lot
20 spots. I don't know if he got high enough.
Yeah, it's a lot of politics involved.
No
in
doubt.
That. And with him, his athleticism is special. He probably needs to be more of a point guard given his size. Not
I've
necessarily
heard that
a
talk,
true
that,
point
yeah.
guard. But this is not to say that the player he is right now would not be a special player at the college level next year. But in terms of these rankings, they're a lot of times looking at pro potential.
Of course.
And at Matthew's height, which is like 6'3", 6'4", something like that,
right.
You got to have more point guard ability, I would think. But again, that to me, I think he can be a very special college basketball player because he's improved his shot making ability over the last year.
And he wants it at the end.
And then athleticism wise, I mean, he's just off the charts for his, like, it's unbelievable how high that guy can jump. And so to your point, I think, honestly, I think where he's at now, like, to me, when I saw him, I guess the first time I saw him really up close was not this past summer, but the summer before. It was the first tournament he played with Team Thad.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him jumping off the gym, and I remember I was at this event where there were a couple high major assistants that I knew, and we were watching him, and they go, who is that guy? And I was like, oh, that's Matthew Morrell. And I wrote it was after that tournament, I wrote a story for the Commercial Appeal. It was that it was basically like, this is the top player from locally from this class. Uh-huh. Like, there was no doubt after that tournament.
Yep.
And the first question everyone asked was, you know, do we have a shot? That's what everyone asks now with these local kids. Yeah. Like, is he a Penny guy? And I was like, well, he used to play for Team Penny, and now he's with Team Thad, so draw your own conclusions there. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so it'll be fascinating to see what happens with him.
With the Faraji and Vanderbilt down there, it'll be fascinating to see what Penny decides there. Do I go all in, or do I?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, because I do know, here's what I'll say. I do know towards the end, like in July, not to say they didn't like him, I think they had decided to prioritize some other people. That was the sense I was getting, watching them. Like, for instance, you know, they watched him like in that live period, they only watched him once, and it was a game. It was the game where, Team Thad played Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren's team, the team that Team Sizzle, that team that they got in the trash. That was Penny watched him in that game, and Madlock may have watched him once or twice otherwise. But the sense I was getting just talking to people around Matthew was that Memphis was still in there, but they weren't clear on how in there they were. Whereas Faraji was at every game.
That's literally his job.
I'll be honest. He was at every game.
Yeah.
And so that'll be interesting to see. And the thing Matthew's going to have to weigh is at Vanderbilt, there's a decent chance he'd be the gem of their class.
The guy.
He'd be guy.
Yeah, it'd be the highest.
Memphis, not to say he is another guy, but he'd probably be one of two or three or four top 50 recruits. And so that's something Matthew's going to have to weigh in his decision-making process. But to me, he already appears to be a guy who can contribute at the college level. Like, if he was playing college today, he would be a contributor on one of these teams. Yeah. So it's going to be his recruitment, while there's not many big time recruits locally this class, his recruitment is going to be fascinating to watch over these next few
couldn't
months.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Lester Quinones had an interesting tweet the other night. He basically said, "Hey, Admiral, if you're not, you know, in some podunk town with the G League team of the Wizards, come by Knoxville.
Go.
Yeah. What'd you think of that tweet? What'd you think about the clapback?
I liked it in that I appreciated the fact that he did some research and looked up what
it was high level.
What the Wizards
it was high level.
What the Go-Go have only been around 1 year.
Yeah.
they're kind of like the Hustle, like the Wizards just started them.
Exactly.
My only concern in the entire thing, like I said this yesterday on the show, while Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, they don't really have, like, say Memphis goes to Knoxville this year and beats Tennessee by 25 points. Like, it's not really any skin off their back because they don't play for UT anymore. They don't have as much at stake in this. Whereas now Lester, if they go to Knoxville and lose, kind of gets some, and maybe people won't remember this once we get to December, but he runs the risk of having egg on his face a little bit. Whereas I don't think Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, they're out of college now. They don't need to.
Oh, they'll be paying attention to that one, you know.
Yeah,
well, especially if he's playing for the Go-Go's, he'll be playing because he'll be on a bus somewhere. He'll be keeping up.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it. I mean, I think that's what college basketball needs more of.
Oh, I liked it, and I appreciated the fact that it wasn't just thrown out haphazardly.
Yes,
it was a very strategic jab. It very much was. And I liked it. I laughed when I saw it, and you know, he seems to be very good at social media. I think he might be the best of the newcomers at social media, Lester.
I think he's media savvy.
There's more than just Twitter, though, Mark.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on the gram.
No.
I'm like that parent who has, like, I have an account that has a couple hundred followers, but I'm more on it to monitor. I'm like the parent monitoring.
Same role for me, brother.
you don't even monitor.
I'm a vulture,
Jason.
Just circling around, down when I need to see Penny post something.
I follow you on Instagram, Mark,
I don't post.
He's
very
got a
much.
Couple. Mark's got a couple hundred followers.
Yeah, he's got 300.
Good Lord, I think I got like 16.
The last post you made was February the 3rd.
Yeah, I don't. Grief. I don't post very much.
I need
much
more
on
content
there.
From you, brother.
What did I post? I don't even remember.
It was a picture of Cole.
Oh yeah, it's a picture of my son. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's much bigger now.
Riding dirty diapers.
Yeah.
It was the caption.
Was it? He looked like he was like riding low in his
Yeah.
In his
I think James is pretty good on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it is amazing to me the amount of followers these kids have on Instagram. I don't know how, like honestly, like if you go to, I mean, even Damian Ball's got 10K on Instagram.
Good grief.
You know?
I like the stories. That's my, I like
James
Instagram
Wiseman
stories.
Has 107,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, what's
and
funny
he's verified.
Is, well, he's got 107,000. Compare that to like Zion a year ago. He had like 3 million or something.
Yeah. DJ Jeffries has 18,500 followers on Instagram.
I mean, honestly, though, that plays a role when these guys, when
no
James
doubt.
Goes pro a year from now,
right.
Like, that's going to weigh in. Like, I bet you can get, if you have, say he can get, let's say once he becomes more of a household name nationally this year, and his goal should be to get to like 500K by the end of the college basketball season. If he's like a really good college basketball
sure.
player, I bet you know, in that endorsement deal, you can get an extra, that's worth like $25,000 at least,
100%.
Maybe more. You know, like it's money for them later on.
John, jealous? What you got? About 2,000 followers?
Yeah,
pretty jealous.
Yeah, I am jealous. I'm trying to get my Instagram game up.
It
man.
Shows. Yesterday, you guys were doing fair expectation level for the basketball team. I liked it. Let's apply that to football.
Okay.
What's fair? 9-10 wins? What below a certain line is disappointment? Do you think? And I imagine all of that has to include an Ole Miss win.
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't necessarily think it has to. To me, the Ole Miss game is more important in the sense that basketball, there's such a fever for basketball
right
now.
Oh, I agree with this point. Yeah, I know where you're going.
That if you lose that first game, it really takes a lot of the wind out of the sails.
The next 2 weeks and the opponents.
Yeah,
and
I think the schedule is tougher than people are giving it credit for, because I think if you look at it, the Ole Miss game is going to be tough. I think that Navy game, even though it's home, will be tough.
It always
you
is
lost
with
to it. Yes, Navy stunk last year. You lost in it, even though you should have won the game. You lost to Navy last year.
Broke down at the end.
I think this is the Tom Bowen special, I guess. That Louisiana Monroe road game. People aren't really paying that much attention to it.
Don't tell me that.
They're sick. They went 6-6 last year and returned quite a few starters from that team. And it's going to be their biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying like Memphis will lose it, but I think it's not going to be some cakewalk. And then the at Temple game is going to be not easy. That last three-game stretch is no cakewalk either. I mean, obviously, that last game, three-game stretch will ultimately decide whether you're in the AAC championship game again or not. But to me, the over-under on this team right now, when I was looking it up yesterday, is like 9 or 9.5 wins. And I don't think 9 would be disappointing, especially if you get if it's 9 with a win over Houston and you're back in the AAC championship game.
Yep.
But I do think like 8 would probably be disappointing given the schedule. Because 8, it feels like, is like with the schedule, like you should win 8, and then that would mean you lost almost every big game. But I think a lot of it depends on, do they win the division again? Because that's what they were picked to do.
Sure.
And so, and then I think a lot, you know, I would like to see them get over the top this year. Because I think the narrative, I think, that gets a little overlooked is, yes, this team returns a lot from last year. They didn't really beat anyone last year.
Right.
You know, they won all the games they were supposed to. They beat a Houston team that was missing its star player. And, you know, and I think with Mike Norvell, it's the same thing. Like,
you got to do the same thing this year, too. You can't have a year like that where it's just the wins over these little guys.
Yes. You got to win. And that, again, goes back to the Ole Miss game. It feels a lot like the UCLA game a couple years ago, in that UCLA was ranked going in that game, but ultimately that became a 6-7 UCLA team.
Yep.
But perception-wise, we don't remember it that way.
Great.
We remember it as they beat Josh Rosen, they beat this top 25
team.
And that'll be the same thing with this Ole Miss game, in that the Ole Miss could end up 3-9 or 4-8 or whatever, but perception-wise, you'll feel a lot better, especially in that month of September, about where this team's headed if they beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, but I agree with that, but I also don't think it's the end of the season if they lose.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not a conference game. You could still look at last year. I mean, they could still make to have a successful season then, if you lose to Ole Miss, well, you better be making it back to the AAC championship game.
Yes, agreed. I agree with that. But you can still beat Ole Miss and not make it to the AAC championship game.
Yes,
like, I
absolutely.
Mean, absolutely. Like, the idea that Ole Miss in the first week of the season is the be-all, end-all, I feel like is a little overstated.
I think it's not the be-all, end-all. I think it's in terms of excitement.
I'm with Mark on that.
Because you're going to get to October 3rd whenever Memphis Madness is, and people are going to turn their – look, even last week, we were like technically 2 weeks away from Memphis football season, and all anyone really cared about was what was going on in the Bahamas. Mm. And that's what this team is going to run into a little bit, especially like you saw 2 years ago when I was covering this team when Tom Shad left, when they started picking up win after win after win, and they were like 7-1 and moving up the rankings.
Yeah.
Like you could tell just from the traffic on the stories, like mm-hmm. people were getting into it
right.
because the record was really good. And so if they're 5-2 instead of 6-1 or 7-0, like, I think that's going to make a difference in how invested the there's always going to be the diehards Memphis football fans that are there.
Sold.
But for Memphis football to take the next step, they need to get even more people invested.
Agreed.
And then that investment a lot of times happens in the month of September, and coming out of the month of September with not just excitement over the fact that this is a good team, but having excitement over the fact that this could be a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that is all exactly right and fair. Mark, always appreciate
thank
the
you,
time,
brother.
Man.
Great
thank
stuff.
You. We'll thank be you able guys. To hear you at 2 o'clock?
Yes, 2 to 4 today.
2 to 4. Gene Otto and Jeffrey, don't miss it. We'll come
thanks,
back.
Brother.
There is a top 50 list out. 50 best over the next 5 years as it relates to NBA players. Tiger's on it. There's a Tiger on it. We'll discuss that a little bit later in the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If you're like me, you take walking seriously. So you wear Go Walks from Skechers. They're the only walking shoes I know that have the 5 Ables. What does that mean? You want walking shoes that are comfortable, breathable, washable, adorable, and affordable. That's the 5 Ables, and Skechers Go Walks have it all. They've got air-cooled Goga Mat insoles for lasting comfort. They're made with washable, breathable materials. They're adorable, and they're wonderfully affordable. They're very able shoes. Get Skechers Go Walks at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Spilled your juice? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. It cleans up messes and spills quicker, so you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
At Advance Financial, we love the word any. Free money orders, any number, any amount, anytime. Western Union, send and receive any amount, anywhere, anytime. Check cashing, any amount, anytime. Free bill pay, including all local utilities, electric, water, cable, phone, anytime. Prepaid debit card, load money, anytime. And, oh yeah, get a loan, anytime. Visit one of our 24/7 locations and get the cash and anything else you need today. Advance Financial, welcome.
Advance Financial will cash any check for any amount. Money orders, payroll checks, government checks, insurance checks, out-of-town checks, and those hard-to-cash checks. Advance Financial will cash your check when no one else will. We always say yes, and no check is too big. $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. Any check, any amount. visit one of our 24/7 locations or online at af247.com to get the cash you need today. Advance Financial. Welcome.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's lunchtime. You need to head on over to the Wing Guru, 5699 Mount Moriah, 7199 Stage Road, and very soon, DeSoto County, Olive Branch, South Haven. You will have yours in that area. Wing Guru coming down across the state line. Billy Richmond's blowing up. He's the former Tiger basketball player that's now the king of chicken wings in Memphis in this great Shelby metro area, John Martin. You know why he's done it? He's done it because of those premium flavors, hasn't he?
That is his empire that he reigns over, the premium flavor empire. It begins with Honey Suicide, Garlic Sriracha, Spicy Taco, 901, Nashville Hot. So many premium flavors to choose from over at the Wing Guru. It's what makes them the best. It's what sets them apart and above the rest.
I saw Drew Hill got him some. Got a whole lot of likes on Twitter, too, with that picture. It looked like art, Drew Hill. And that's what Billy's Wings look like. But much like the comments to Drew's post, you got to try that gourmet burger. You got to try the catfish. It's all good over at the Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond, you please tell him that Jason and John sent you.
We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The XFL has come out with the names of each team. The Dallas team, Renegades. They're the Renegades. The St. Louis team, they are the Battle Hawks. The Dragons are the Seattle team. New York Guardians, DC Defenders, Tampa Bay Vipers, Houston Roughnecks, and Los Angeles Wildcats.
Hold up, Roughnecks, and what was the first one?
Renegades.
Yeah, Renegades. Sounds like a bunch of the folks that that he said he
named the AAF.
Yeah.
Yeah, these names suck.
Sound like a Nintendo game.
Yeah, these are very generic, city-specific names.
I'm not as concerned about the names as I am with how it's run, and it feels like it's going to be, and it has, you know, a much more stable foundation. It feels like the football will be real, John. It feels like there is a real plan here. Where it looked as, especially when you pulled back the covers, like there was a thought playing out there with the AAF. But this one seems, you know, it's had its time, John. It's not rushing into things. It's at its time to sort of set this up. So while the names may be off, I feel like we're going to get a better brand of football, no?
Maybe. We shall see. There was an oral history.
You were all behind this. I thought you were behind anything McMahon does.
I'm not. After we saw the AAF, I am no longer interested or invested in.
You don't believe
football
After that first week when you get those high numbers that there is a demand for it, and if you can keep it good, you can keep some of that demand?
No.
Okay.
No, I think I'm done with spring football altogether. All right. I was never really in on the Memphis Express, you know, because once they made their hires, they hired Mike Singletary. They hired Mike Singletary, and then they signed Johnny Manziel, only to not play him. You know, so I was never, ever invested in the Memphis Express, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I get that. We're just talking about can spring football last, not what Memphis did with its moves.
Well,
we realized this one was even more, the franchise, particularly here, was even, you know, some of the decisions made there were even more questionable.
Did you ever end up
talking about the league itself?
Did you ever end up going to a game?
No.
You did not?
No, I watched from like those 60 different cams, though, that you could watch from online.
Maybe there are things that the NFL can take from the AAF and improve their product. But is there any, like, can the XFL succeed? Will it succeed? No. It'll just be a money pit for Vince McMahon. Yes, he'll probably end up.
I thought you were much higher on it than
he'll
that.
He'll put more into it. He'll put more money into it because he has more money.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Ebersole, you know, he was spending other people's money, right? Vince is spending his own money. So it can last as long as Vince wants it to last. But I think what's going to end up happening is it's going to be a lot like, you know, your Raleigh home. And you're going to be putting money in there, and you're going to feel like it's a money pit.
You realize somebody's in that home and very happy now.
We don't know
can't
that.
Talk bad about
we
it.
We don't know that.
Oh, I just saw the lady that runs the neighborhood association here last week, as a matter of fact, John, over the doctor's office, and said that they're still in there perfectly fine.
How's Raleigh? Oh, yeah?
It's
Good.
Said the gate fell down.
We're doing good over there, huh?
Whoever. So the buyer, y'all need to put that gate up before Carolyn get back. Now, when Carolyn get back, she's going to come tell you about that gate if you don't put it back up there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cordova's great. It's great. I'm so glad you guys are doing well in Raleigh, though. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
I just don't like the way you dog ride.
How's the solar-powered sign doing over there? Still working? Awesome.
It's doing great, brother.
Yeah.
As is that multi-use facility that's coming up on Austin Peay. I go over there, get my hair cut still have to attend church in Raleigh. Raleigh's still a very special place still. It holds in my heart.
I'm glad to hear that, man. I really am.
I'm tired of hearing your sarcasm about it.
No.
It's like you're brushing. I'm saying what I said. Yeah, thank you.
It's just you.
You're being awkward.
No, it's just you leave Raleigh and talk like about how tone. Much you love it.
I don't like your terse tone.
You know? Oh, I love Raleigh. Bye.
And that ghetto you live in. I've seen it. I've been there.
Look, just do me a favor and Google property values in Colonial Acres.
Mm-hmm.
That sound you hear is the launch. I mean, taking off, dog.
Yeah, you couldn't even get a baby in that tiny home you're in right now. What you got, about 400 square feet over there?
New high point.
You new generation. You're in one of these tiny homes over there.
That's right.
That's right. No bad, but you're going up.
Energy efficiency and low mortgage.
Okay. You're putting me in a bad.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.